And today's message is called Moving from Disappointment to His Appointment. And we're going to talk about what that means as we go along here. And I pray that God opens your heart as we grow as God's disciples. And is there some reason why I'm ringing and stuff? Can you do something with that? Thanks. We've been looking at what it means to be a disciple of the Lord, to really look at what it means to be a follower, a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. God has called us to be His followers, His disciples. And it's an endeavor that will last a lifetime. It'll last our entire life as we are becoming what Jesus wants us to be. Amen? See, no one's arrived yet. No one's gotten there yet. We're all being made into His disciples. And I pray that today will help you. It sure helped me. And for a little bit, I'm just going to talk with you before we open the scriptures together about some things that I was going through in my own life and learning this. You know, most of you know that in December, my mom passed away. And I was, when I wrote this message, I was in Dallas and I was going through some personal time of just recovery from that and looking through that. This is when my mom passed away in the first part of December. I continued to work and preach here all the way through December, and then I went and took a study break to try to recover and renew myself from that. Most of you know, if you've been around here very long, that around October of every year, I always have a time that between October and December that I am really seeking God for what His Word is for the church for the next, for the coming year. And it happens every year. God begins to open my heart, begins to speak to me about things He wants to say to the church. And it was in the middle of that, that my mom went to be with the Lord. And it was a very difficult time for me. But when I go through that time in last part of October after my birthday and into through December, I always have this time of just personal reflection, kind of take inventory of my life, start looking at what I've been through, where I've made my mistakes, where I've stepped up a little bit, where I've grown. Listen, let me just challenge you that as God's disciple, one that follows Jesus, I would challenge you to take a time at least once a year. I do it about three times a year, but to really sit down with the Lord and say, Lord, where have I grown this year? What kind of changes have you brought in me? Am I different than I was 1 year ago today? Am I different? I try to do it a little more often than that. I try to do it at least three times a year where I really sit down with the Lord with a piece of paper and a pen and I say, God, show me the areas of my life where I've taken a step up. Show me the places where I've fallen short, where I'm not where you want me to be. Because if you don't take personal inventory of your life, guess what? You're never going to know if you're growing or not. And it's just the way it is. We are called to be growing people. And I'm going to tell you as your pastor and as a caregiver into your life, I really want you to know that God requires that we be growing. It's not an option. It's not an option. God didn't say, well, grow if you'd like to. He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow in His Word. He wants us to grow in our relationships. He wants us to grow in all that we are and all that we do. And if you and I don't take the time to journal and or at least take inventory a few times a year, we're not going to find out if we're growing at all. And you'll be sitting here next February the 18th, sitting in this one of these pews and just still be sitting in your own pew. For he who sits in his own pew stinketh. Yes, that's right. So God wants us to grow. He wants us to change. He wants us to become more like Him. So as I was going through this personal time of reflection on my own life, I began to reflect a lot deeper because my mom passed away. I began to look at my life and see really where I've come from and where I've grown. But most of all, I began to look at places that I've been a disappointment to the Lord, to my family, to my friends, to ministry, to the church. As I began to look at my life, I began to see the places that I've come up short. I began to look at the places where I didn't do what God called me to do. I haven't gotten there yet. I've not arrived yet. It was a little disheartening, to be honest with you. And I learned a lot during that time about disappointment. I learned that it really isn't spelled like we normally would spell it. But you have to put a hyphen in there. And really what disappointment is about is that I've been disappointed. In other words, I'm not living up to the appointment God has placed on my life. You see, the truth is that God loves us no matter what. And I got to thinking about my mom. My mom was a great mom. She loved us so much. She gave her life really to raise five kids, and it was quite a battle for her. Because if you knew anything about my older brothers and sister, you'd know it was a real battle. Of course, she had one perfect one at the end. She never quit loving us. She never quit believing in us. The truth is that no matter how many times she was disappointed because we were disappointed, she always loved us. And my mom is a picture of the Lord Jesus and how he loves us so very much. When we miss our appointment with God, when we miss the appointed opportunity that God has placed in our life, God still incredibly loves us. I remember I had quite an advantage of being the youngest of five kids because I would sit and listen at night when the phone would ring middle of the night. My brothers had wrecked another one of my parents' cars. Or worse than that, they were in jail again. And I would listen to my mom on the phone, and she would be so disappointed because she heard once again that her sons were missing their appointment in life. They weren't fulfilling the thing that God had planned for their life. And every one of us, if we were to look real close at our life, would realize that we have done that exact thing. Now, maybe we weren't in jail or wrecked our parents' car, but many of us would look at, if we looked honestly at our life, we would realize that we're missing the appointment God has placed on our life. We're not living up to the potential that God intended for us. And so today our message is about moving from disappointment to his appointment. And we're going to see what that means as we go through this message today. I remember calling my mom one time. I was about 16 years old and I had an accident in my car. And I had a little Volkswagen. It was a 72 Volkswagen. It's light blue, baby blue kind of. And it was brand new at the time. And at this particular intersection in Tulsa where I grew up, we're out in the country then. It's all grown up into city now. But back in those days, it was out in the country, and they were doing some construction on the road, and there was a little ditch. And I, being a young driver, I didn't realize what had happened, but I had stopped at the stop sign with my front tires on the one side of that ditch and the back tires on the back side of the ditch. And so when the speed limit was about 55 miles an hour going across where I was, and so you had to kind of time that to get across there. 11th and 129th Street. I'll never forget as long as I live. And so I saw a car coming down the way, and it was coming pretty good, but I thought I can get across here, no problem. But when I took off of my little Volkswagen, the back wheels fell down into that ditch, and it bogged down a little bit, and then it was too late. I'd already made the commitment, so I took off. And this guy, I'm convinced to this day he could have stopped. He wasn't in any normal car either. He's in a fiberglass dune buggy. How many of you guys remember those dune buggies made out of fiberglass? Yeah. And he hit the front of my car or the back of my car, back fender. All it did, you know, in a Volkswagen, you just take about 8 bolts out, take the fender off, put a new one on there. It's no big deal. But his car, it busted the fiberglass, all kinds of things. I remember before the day of cell phones, I had to walk and find a phone, and I called my mom. And I said, Mom, I've had an accident. And she said these words. She said, oh, Ronnie, I hated that. Not only did she call me Ronnie, but she had this disappointment in her voice that just broke my heart. Because it sounded just like how she was disappointed when she would talk to one of my older brothers when they were in trouble. And my response was, oh, Mom, don't say that. I already felt bad enough. She didn't need to add to it. How many of you know that we live a life before the Lord, and God is looking at us and he's watching us. And there's not any of us who have not misjudged something in our life and fallen into a trap, into the pits of this life. And we have a Father who loves us, who receives us and cares for us. And though he may be disappointed in some of the decisions we made, it's not because we faltered. It's because we've missed his appointment for our life. I think that for me, it's going to sound a little neurotic, but sometimes it's a little bit too important to me sometimes what other people think. And I think some of us deal with that. You know, I would have liked to have been a little better looking. Sorry, but I would have. I would have liked to have been, you know, a little more studly in the build. A body build, you know. I would have liked to have been a better athlete. You know, I wrestled in high school and I played football in junior high. And I didn't really come into really what would be considered good as even a fair athlete till I started playing soccer in college. I was a late bloomer. And I finally found a sport that I could play. And the truth is, I always wanted to be better at it than I was. And maybe you feel the same way. Maybe about your life, you feel that you didn't quite get all of the stuff that was supposed to be given to you. Sometimes my family would say to me when I was a little kid, they would say, you know, when God was passing out brains, you hid behind the door. That always told me how stupid and dumb and ignorant I was. And I chose to believe that for a lot of time in my life. And the truth is that when we believe those kinds of truths, those kinds of things about us, that's false, you know what happens? We become a disappointed person. We miss our appointment. It was years and years after I grew up in that little house in Tulsa my dad still lives in at this point. It was many, many years before I really realized that God had an appointment for my life. And it was real. And it wasn't just some kind of idea, but God had a purpose and a plan for me. Now, I knew it here, but in my experience, it took a long time until any even inkling of confidence, and I still struggle with it to this day, came into my life. And I challenge you today to move from disappointment or missing your appointment to find His appointment for your life. Amen? And so we're going to talk about that this morning, and I just hope that helps you a little bit. I was, got to tell you one more little story before we get in the Word today. I was in this point of reflection and that I was going through, you know, after my mom passed away. And I was really struggling with really what God wanted to do in my life from that. There's one thing I could always depend on. I could call my mom. And even to this day, several months later, I still pick up my phone every once in a while, start to call. And I was really dogging myself a lot. I mean, I was really not doing well in my walk. I was just, man, you have really messed it up. You know, the fact is you're a pretty lousy dad, and you're that husband thing you've really messed up with, the pastor thing, you know. I was really going through some stuff in my own self. And if you've ever gone through a loss in your life, you know what I'm talking about. And the kinds of things that you'll begin to experience. And one day, my son Caleb called me on the phone. Just out of the blue, he just called me. I'm driving down the street. He calls me, I answer my phone. Hey, Caleb, you know, Caleb, talking to Caleb on the phone is always a little interesting because I'm not quite sure where he's going. In his conversation. And so he's talking to me. He's saying, Dad, he's so excited. He said, Dad, I just want to tell you, I went to a movie. Now, that's not unusual because Caleb loves movies. In fact, let me just warn you right now, if you ever want to get into a movie trivia game, be on his side because he remembers everything about movies. I remember nothing. He got that entire gene into him. I can watch a movie and 3 weeks later not even know I watched it. I don't remember the plot. I'll say, have I seen this? They'll say, yes, you've seen this. I'll go, I don't remember a thing. And then I'll be watching the movie and I'll go, you know, that kind of looks familiar. But I don't really remember movies very well. He remembers everything. Him and Jonathan will sit around the house and they'll actually just quote the lines of a movie together. And I'm just going, are you kidding? Can you imagine if that was the Word of God? No, yeah, I don't say that. But anyway, he loves movies. And so he went to, I think, with Jennifer to see a movie. I don't remember who he went with. But he went to see a movie with Will Smith in it. I don't remember the name of it. He always cringes when I'm given any illustration about a movie. Believe me. Huh? Pursuit of Happiness. And he said, I haven't seen the movie at all. I don't know anything about it. But he began to say to me some things that was true in his heart. And he began to say, I want to thank you for being a good dad. He said, one of the calls of my life, one of the dreams of my heart, Caleb said, is to be a dad someday. And I want to be a dad like God wants me to be a dad and like you're a dad. And at the time, I'm really going through it. I'm really ripping up. Caleb has no idea the timing of that. And he began to thank me for the things that we've done together and some of the things that the pleasure of that role in his life and what that meant to him. And after he got off the phone, I pulled my truck over the side of the road and I began to just weep uncontrollably because I realized that when we live through this life, we may feel like we're messing up. But when we put our lives into the hands of the living God of the universe, he will turn our disappointments into his appointment for us. And I believe that God orchestrates things and he has timing for things and he has purpose for things. And the timing of Caleb's call that day was so extremely important. And I'll explain as we go through this message today. It won't be too long of a message, but it'll be an important one, I think, for your heart. Well, the first point today in your little paper is you've got to fill this in. I am what I am. Now, a couple weeks ago, we had Superman here with us, if you'll remember. And one of the young girls in the church, she was telling me she went to school the next day. And she told everybody that Superman was at her church. And she was telling them a little bit about it. And they began to ask her more questions. She said, no, you just got to come to church to find out. I like that. That's good. Bait them up good, you know. Well, we got another guy that's going to come here in just a little bit. But you might remember him. He's one of my favorite heroes when I was a little boy. His name is Popeye the Sailor Man. And when he was frustrated or when he was not sure of what to do, when he was a little bit felt inadequate, Popeye would say, I am what I am. And that's all that I am. I love that when he was a little kid. Oh, Popeye, he's a great guy, isn't he? Look at that guy up there. Big arms, you know. I mean, he just... Really, the thing is Popeye was not a sophisticated guy. He was not a real intellectual guy. He was really just, a pipe-smoking, olive oil-loving guy. He just didn't really have a whole lot of purpose in his life. He just, you know, if people came along, got in his way, hit them, and that was about it, you know. And loved his spinach, which was all underlying current of the world to try to get people to eat spinach, but it didn't work. Popeye was not a very sophisticated guy, as I said, and he really was out of touch with reality. The truth is that he probably never went through therapy at all. Probably never had any counseling. He was woefully out of touch with the world that he lived in. He was kind of he was out of touch with his shallow self. His inner child he was not in touch with. He didn't have much education as far as we know. He was just a simple, seafaring, pipe-smoking, olive oil-loving guy. And he didn't pretend to be anything else. One of the things about my childhood hero was that he always seemed to say that statement, I am what I am, and I know that. And that's all that I am. He always said it with this kind of sadness. He always had this kind of defeated thing in the old cartoons. Kind of a sadness in his expression. It's kind of usually said in light of some of his shortcomings in life. In other words, he was saying, don't get your hopes up too much about seeing any change in me, because I just am what I am. And that's all that I am. What does this got to do with Scripture? You'll see in a minute. Believe me, we'll get there. I'm just taking a little longer to get there than I thought. I think that seems to kind of be the sad cry of all the human race in the world today. It's kind of like this idea in our world that I just am what I am, and I'm a disappointment. I don't have much hope. And the truth is, if you don't like it, just lump it, because that's just the way that I am. But I believe with all my heart that as God's disciples, we have a purpose to fulfill. We have a direction to follow. We have a reason to exist, and God has a plan for each of our lives. And the goal of a disciple of Jesus is not to just say, I am what I am, and that's all that I am. The goal of Jesus' disciples is to say, Jesus, what do you want for me? Because I want to be it. I want to be that. I want to go for it. And so I pray that you'll do that as well today. Now, Papa has a song, and I think Caleb's got this on video for us. This is from the movie. I don't think you could find it from the cartoon, but let's look at that together.
He's Popeye the Sailor Man.
Oh, my hero.
He's Popeye the Sailor Man. He's strong to the finish, cause he eats his spinach. He's Popeye the Sailor Man.
Oh, I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm strong to the finish, cause I eat my spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
He's Popeye the Sailor Man. He's strong to the finish, cause he eats his spinach. He's strong by the Sailor Man.
I'm one tough gazookas that hates all palookas that ain't on the up and square. I biffs him and buffs him and always outruffs him, and none of them gets nowhere. If anyone dares to risk me fisk, it's buff and it's wham, understands. So keep good behavior, that's your one lifesaver with Popeye the Sailor Man.
He's Popeye the Sailor Man. He's Popeye the Sailor Man.
Chicken of the sea,
yeah. He's strong to the fish, cause he eats his spinach. He's Popeye the Sailor Man.
Have I ever seen that movie? I didn't think so. Well, we better get into the word here real quick. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. The song, here's the words if you want to try to read them. When he was singing the verses, I couldn't quite understand him, but that's what he said, actually. He's Popeye the Sailor Man. Well, as we begin to walk through life, we find ourselves as people who maybe, if we're not living to the potential God intended for us, we'll begin to become a person who's disappointing God in our life. And the word itself is apt. I'm in this kind of a state of disappointment sometimes. I'm missing life that's been appointed for me from God. Many people live in that kind of state. God has a plan for you, and I want you to understand that we've all disappointed God. We've all come short, fallen short. And sometimes we just have to come to this place where we refuse to not allow God to just be God in our life. God has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us. He has a direction for us. And I am what I am, but that's not all that I am, because God is doing something in me. Amen. It's not about spinach. It's about eating on His Word and learning and growing in Him. There's a guy named Soren Kierkegaard said, "And now, Lord, with your help, I shall become myself." What is the myself he's talking about? He's talking about us becoming people that God intended for us to be. This series is about spiritual growth. It's about the holy and mysterious process described by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." The goal of every Christian, every disciple of the Lord, is to become a person that allows Christ to be formed in us. That in other words, there would be a process that would happen, that we would begin to be people who allow Christ to be formed in us. That His model, that His purpose, that His way of living, that His way of talking, that His way of responding would become a way that we live. How many of you know, you don't have to admit this out loud if you don't want to, but how many of you know that we could all use some work in that area of really letting Christ be formed in us, that we would become a person formed after the purposes of Jesus, that we would be molded and made into the person that Jesus wants us to be, and it looks like Him. And the goal of being a Christian and being a disciple of the Lord is to become a person who's discipled into becoming a person that looks like, acts like, talks like, lives like, feels like, all of that, like Jesus. That's really what we are, that we become the image of him. The Bible says that we're made in the likeness and the image of God. But the truth is, until the work of Christ is formed in us, we're not going to begin to live that out before other people. It might be an internal thing. We might have asked Jesus into our heart. But the process of becoming a man or woman of God is the process of allowing the Christ of heaven to be formed in us. That we begin to look like him. We begin to operate like him. That we feel like he feels. That we have compassion like he has compassion. That we begin to respond like he would respond. And the truth is we miss that appointment that God has, and we become a disappointment or disappointed person because we're not fulfilling the purposes that God has ordained in our life. To grow spiritually means to live increasingly as Jesus would if he was in that very unique place that you are. Now, you see, the truth is that people say, you've never lived my life, and that's true. And I was telling somebody just yesterday, you know, the Bible says to take up your cross and follow him. And the bottom line of it is, the truth of it is that my cross that I'm to bear is hard enough. I don't need yours. In fact, sometimes other people's life looks so much better than ours. Just try carrying their cross a little while. See, the truth is it doesn't fit. It'll rub big old blisters on your shoulders because carrying the wrong cross, living the wrong life, living the life that's meant for somebody else will never work. God has a purpose and a plan for each of us individually. And the truth is that our goal is to become people who operate in what God had planned for us and meet his appointment. And so I pray that today you will do that, that you'll begin that journey if you haven't already. And if you've gotten off the path, if you've begun to be disappointed or miss the appointment of God, that today you'll get on his appointment for your life. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to separate our spiritual life from other parts of our life. Say, like, for instance, our spiritual life from our financial life or our family life. Or maybe our vocational life. But you know what? In God's economy, there's only one life. It's spiritual. Because everything is spiritual in nature. Everything has maybe a physical output, but internally, what God is doing is he's doing something spiritually in you. I'm not good with finances because there's something in my spirit that needs to be changed. I'm not doing well in my family because something spiritually in me needs to be touched. So you can't separate them. They're connected. And the truth is that when each one of us become Christ's disciple, the goal is not to say, well, I'm going to get my financial life in order. I'm going to get my family life in order. Or I'm going to get maybe my vocational life in order. That's not the goal. The goal is to become a person who's separated under the purposes of God. And he'll take care of all of that. When you begin to fulfill your appointment with Christ and become the man or woman, God's determined for you to be, what will happen is that all of a sudden your financial life will come in order. Your vocational life will work. It'll just work. It's amazing how many people will come to me and they'll say, Pastor Ron, would you pray for me for a new job? Would you pray for me for financial freedom? Would you pray for me for this? And of course, I'll pray for anything. But the truth is that if we want those things to come alive inside of us, it's going to have to be because we get our life right with Jesus. It's all about that. It's not about saying, okay, well, I'm going to start making investments and get my finances all in order. No, just get your life right with Jesus. He'll bless your finances. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, and the children of my Sunday school class are mostly probably in super church right now, but we learned this today. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you as well. In other words, the more you make Jesus the king of your life, that he's ruling as the ruler of your heart, and the more you seek his kingdom rule in your life, and the more you seek right relationship with Jesus, then all the things you need will be added. And the truth is that we spend immense energy on trying to get the things, and God wants to just give you the things. And so in my Sunday school class today, I had 5 little plates, and I had quarters on one plate, and I had suckers on one plate, and I had these little wristbands that said, I love Jesus on one plate, and I had candy kisses and then some sugar-free gum because kind of goes with my sermons. And so I put that all on there. And then by their age group, youngest to the oldest, they got to go over to the plates and pick one item each time. They got to do that three times. And then we talked about why they made those choices. I mean, why did you take the quarter first? Because I could spend it later. You know, why did you take the gum? Or why did you? And we began to talk about it. And the truth is that when we put Jesus first, when we pick him first, then all the things will be added. And so we went through all the class and we did the coloring and we did all this stuff. And at the end, I said, now you can have all those things on those plates that you want. You can take all of it if you want. There was a lot left over. And so I said, you can have all of it, because when you seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you as well. And the truth is that is what God is wanting us to do, is realize that the spiritual life, the journey that we're on, is not about becoming more better at this or better at that. Sometimes we like to do it that way. You can go seminars on everything. You can go to a seminar on this and seminar on that. You want to be a better husband? Get connected to Jesus. You want to be a better wife? Get your life saturated in the person of Jesus. You want to be better into your finances? Just sell out to Jesus. Give it all to him. You want to become a person that's better on your job and start getting promotions and raises? How would you like that? Give your life directly to the person that can cause that to happen. Don't seek the raises and the promotions. Seek the kingdom. Amen. That'll preach. I could preach that for a while. How many are you with me today? Well, one of the things that helped me in this spiritual journey was to realize something that's been very difficult for me to realize in my life, and that is, I'm God's work of art. Did you know that? I'm God's work of art. One of the great works of art in the Western world is a huge marble statue of an anguished Mary holding the body of the crucified Christ. It was done by the great Michelangelo. There's a picture of it up on the screen. It's called the Pietà. And in 1972, this kind of fanatic nationalist named Lazo Toth ran up onto this area where this great masterpiece is, and with a sledgehammer just began to bust it, break it up. Well, he was subdued, of course, and he was sent to an insane asylum because they said he was declared insane. But he did this incredible damage to this wonderful masterpiece. And it was an incredible experience. It was all on the news. It was a big thing that went on. The damage was pretty significant. But the Vatican artists and people that restore that kind of thing were able to restore it almost to near perfect. And the Bible says that you and I are God's workmanship. We are his work of art. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, and so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Literally, the word is, we are God's poema. That's the Greek word, poema. We are his work of art. And the truth is, by the decisions that we make or don't make, the kinds of things we say and don't say, the things that we do and don't do, we can do great damage to God's work of art. But I want you to know that there's a God who's in the ability to restore. He has the ability to restore the places that we've beaten away at our own life, the places of damage that we've had because we haven't walked as his sons and daughters the way we should. When we've missed our appointment and we've become disappointed, it begins to break away at the art of God's work in our life. God has created us to fill the earth and subdue it and reign and rule with him. Amen? And we are not really, as the Church of Jesus Christ, especially in America, we're not living at that level. Let me just tell you, we're not. Much of the Church of America today is, quite frankly, pretty anemic. Oh, we go to church, we listen to the pastor preach for a while, wish he'd get done sooner. And And much of our walk with God and many people in America today that call themselves Christians, much of the work of God in our life is all wrapped around coming on a Sunday morning. And then we don't think about him again until next Sunday morning. Let me tell you, when we do that, we're disappointed. Yes. In fact, when all we do is, even if we come to church on Sunday and Wednesday, if that's all we have in our walk with Jesus, we'll miss God's appointment for our life. Because the walk with Jesus is not about religion. It's not about going through motions. It's about being completely and absolutely sold out to be the most devoted follower of Jesus Christ you can possibly be. And that takes work in the Word, in prayer, in service every single day of our life. If you want to be God's real work of art, you must let him come by the power of his Spirit and heal those places that have been beaten up and broken up and busted because of the places we've missed our appointment with him. We must do that. And we also must get on the path to become a fully, completely, absolutely devoted follower of Jesus. Because I'm a pastor and I get the right to kind of work in God's vineyard. And my job is working here. This is what I do for a living. But I struggle with the same things you struggle with. Because I can do my job and never be before the Lord. I could do my job and never for myself discover the Word. I could write sermons and never for myself discover what God's saying. I could do that. People do it all the time. And without judging their heart, I know pastors that tell me they do that. They've got books and they know what to preach every Sunday because that's what everybody in their denomination is preaching on that Sunday. And never allow the God of heaven to penetrate their own heart. It's not about doing what I do. No, sir, you're godly. It's about being a fully devoted follower of Jesus that is so in love with him that every day, every single day, want to be before his presence. Want to be in his word because it's got the word of life to us. Every day. We began to fulfill the appointment. In fact, it's interesting. God's timing is always perfect. But I couldn't have repeated the word that I gave at Randy and Lisa's wedding. But if you listened very closely to those words, they would speak very closely to what I'm talking about today. I could have showed that video any single Sunday that we'd have had time. But today was God's appointed time. Because even though their eyes may not even still to this day have been opened to everything God has for you, I know they are being opened. Because God wants to fulfill his appointment for your lives together. And he wants to do that for all of us. Let me end with a story. We have a need to turn aside. And let me talk about that as I come to an end of this message. God holds out this possibility of transformation in our life. He holds out this incredible thing that he wants to do. And one day in mankind's history, after many, many years, a very long time, the people of Israel had not heard a word of hope in their life at all. Then was nothing. There was no voice from God. If you read the scripture in Exodus, you'll find that out. The word of God had been closed off. And the people of Israel were making bricks in a place called Egypt. And there was a man named Moses who God had a plan and an appointed time for him. And as we see this story unfold, what happens is that Moses walks past this shrub, probably has walked past this particular shrub 100 times. In fact, He was just watching a bunch of sheep out on the backside of a desert somewhere for his father-in-law. What a job. Can you imagine going from a man who's been trained by the best Egyptian teachers, who lived in the palaces of Egypt because he was taken in as a little child, and now he's a fugitive on the backside of a desert watching sheep for his father-in-law? That's a demotion if I've ever seen one. And he's walking around through a pasture dodging sheep poop. I don't know. And all of a sudden, something happens. This bush that he's walked past 100 times is on fire, but it's not being consumed. Look in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Let me just tell you, Moses had a choice. He could have walked right past the burning bush. He could have said, that's interesting, and walked right on. But the Bible says that Moses turned aside. And if we, you and I, ever want to become the disciple God's intended for us to be, we must be willing to turn aside. We must get out of our routine, out of our rut. Quit being so stinking, honking busy. And start giving time to the purposes of God in our life. Quit worrying about preparing lessons and doing the job that you have every day. Don't worry so much about that. You can do that probably in your sleep. If you're a teacher, you probably know how to put lessons together. If you cut hair, you probably know how to cut hair, by the way, Edie. It's about time. And you know how to do it. You know, if you... I was given this lesson one day here on the diet thing at the first part of the series. And when I got done, Lisa came up to me and she said, you know, that was kind of like nutrition 101. I had no idea what I was even talking about. But I can preach sermons. I know how. I've done it for a long, long time. In fact, we had a contest. Used to have these contests at summer camp. And we'd preach in a preachy voice, Mary Had a Little Lamb. And I could do that. I could preach a sermon right now on Mary and her little lamb. Don't have to study. Don't have to prepare. I could make up a sermon right now on Mary Had a Little Lamb. His name was Jesus. And he was so pure and so right that even his fleece was white as snow. And if you give your life to the Lamb of Mary, his blood will wash you white as snow. Doesn't take a lot to preach a sermon. It's easy. I could do it in my sleep. In fact, sometimes I do. Sometimes I wake up sweating. My feet are sweating. I'm sweating because I've been preaching in my sermon. In my dreams. I know how to preach. I know how to do it, even though I sometimes stumble over my words. I know how to do it. I've done it for a long, long time. But just doing the motions is not going to make it. Somewhere, God's kids have to be willing to turn aside of what they're normally doing and say, God, I'm going to get before you and in your presence, and I'm going to experience you. And we're going to hear the God of heaven through his angels say, take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. And Moses was a man who knew how to watch sheep, obviously. And he'd walk by bushes all the time. But all of a sudden, there was a different bush. It was filled with the fire of the power of the Spirit. And the Bible says that he turned aside. And he went before God. He didn't have to. He didn't have to do that. He could have done what most American Christians today do. Go through all their motions and all their routines. And never take time to step aside and say, God, what are you saying to me today? What are you wanting to do in my life today? Sometimes something happens in your life and it's difficult and it's hard. And you'll have a tendency to go, I can't believe this happened to me. I just throw a big stinking honking fit. And if you just stop and say, God, this wasn't easy. What are you saying to me? Then he'll speak into your life something that will make you closer to the disciple he's always intended for you to be. You will find his appointment for your life. It's not just in the good times and the wonderful services and the wonderful laying on of hands that you find God's purpose. It's in the difficulties of the backside of a desert when you're all by yourself and you don't know what you're going to do and you don't know how to handle it. And you stop and you turn aside and you say, God, speak something into me. Don't get in your emotions. Don't get in your habits. Don't even make your prayer time and your Bible reading time just a habit. Make it a time of an encounter with the living God of heaven. And he'll change your life. I preach about that with passion because I experience that each and every day of my life. He didn't miss the opportunity. Moses didn't. God said, I want you to do something. I want you to go to the commander-in-chief of this nation and tell him that his major workforce is going to quit. And Moses' response was, maybe 40 years ago, I was stronger then, was better looking then, people knew me then, I was popular then. Maybe 40 years ago, I talked better, I was just better suited for the job. 40 years ago, I had powerful connections. 40 years ago, I was somebody. But now I'm just a forgotten shepherd on the backside of the desert watching my father-in-law's sheep. And he began to say, like Pi, who am I? I just am what I am. Moses makes some excuses. Exodus 3:11, he says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Nobody knows me. I stutter. If you read this story, it says I'm slow in speech. I'm a disappointment to myself. I just am what I am. And God says to Moses, he says, the same thing to us today. He says, I know all about that. I know about your weaknesses. I know about your places where you come up short. But it didn't really matter. Because I have an appointment for you. And see, when God gives you his appointment, he gives you his power. When he gives you his appointment, he gives you his purpose. And when he gives you your appointment, he gives you his passion. And you can do nothing else but fulfill the call of God on your life. There's been so many times in ministry over these last almost 30 years that I've been preaching since Bible college. Can you believe 30 years? I never thought I'd stand before people and say I did anything for 30 years. And in May, it'll be 30 years since I started preaching after Bible college. I've been in pastoral ministry for 30 years. And I've disappointed myself a lot. I've been disappointed with what I see sometimes. And there's been many a Monday I wanted to quit. The whole first year of being a senior pastor, I wanted to quit every Monday. In fact, I did. I wrote the letter, put it in an envelope, and sealed it, and was ready to hand it to the church council every Monday for the first year I was a senior pastor. But God had an appointment for me. And I have no other plans but to do my best to fulfill his appointment. Exodus 3:13, then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" In other words, I want to know what I'm supposed to be telling them who you are. And his answer in Exodus 3:14 and 15 says, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." In other words, he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me.'" Moreover, God said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" Then he continues to give Moses his marching orders, and he tells him what to do. God told him, "You go tell those people that I am who I am, and I have an appointment for you." And Moses did. Most of you know the rest of the story. I don't have time to go into that. In fact, the worship team, come on to the front now. The truth is that God has an appointment for you, and he has an appointment for me. They're different appointments, but the same purpose. It's a different appointment, but it's the same passion that drives it. And that's a passion to be a man, or in some cases, a woman of God. It's the passion to be his disciple, a true and complete, devoted follower of the living Lord of the universe. Can you imagine, even for a moment, that before the foundations of the world, God knew you and formed you and had a plan for your life? He saw you, and he saw this day, and he saw this moment, and he said, "I have a plan for your life." He knew you would be here today. Before the foundations of the world, the God of heaven knew that on February 18th, 2007, you would be sitting in this sanctuary. Or if later somebody's listening to this on CD, he knew you would be listening to it right now. And he would say, "Receive my appointment. Do what I've called you to do. Be what I've called you to be. Be a man or a woman of God. Be a young person dedicated to Jesus. Give it all. Never settle again for the attitude, 'I am what I am, and that's all that I am.' Never settle for that again. Never be disappointed by just doing your own thing and your own purpose. But dedicate your heart and your life to fulfill God's appointment for you. He has one. He always has." Let's pray. Father, I ask you to take this word today, a long one, but a word important to the life flow of being a disciple. Before we go into next week, Lord, specific disciplines that we're to have in our life, we needed to hear this message. We needed to hear, God, that you have an appointment for each one of us, that we are your work of art. We may have been damaged by the stuff of this world, but it's nothing you can't fix. We are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, so that we can fulfill the purpose you've ordained for us. Help us to take the stand today to be your disciple. Today as we worship, I'm not going to ask you to stand right now. I just want you to sit there for a minute as the worship team begins to lead this song. And when you think that you're at the place in your life and in your worship that you're ready to say, Jesus, I want to meet you and I want to become a person who fulfills your appointment for my life. Wherever in the song, wherever in the worship for the next few minutes that we have, at that point, just at that point, not when everybody else is standing, not when everybody else is going through it, but just when you feel, God, I'm ready to accept your appointment. I want you then at that point to stand to your feet and lose yourself in his presence and worship him.